Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa habibana wa maulana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, amma ba'd. Respected elders and dear brothers, in a few days' time, exactly 2 weeks from now, we will be receiving and welcoming a very special guest in the form of Ramadan. This is such a special guest that hails from Allah and will return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are familiar with the process that is undertaken and the preparations that are undertaken whenever we are expecting a guest. Whenever we are expecting a guest and there is an important person who will be visiting, then there are certain preparations that are undertaken. It's common sense. And depending on the status of the guest, the preparation is according to the level and the status of the guest. So the higher the position of the guest, the greater the preparation. And the higher the position of the guest, the more determined we are and the more attention is paid towards the quality of the preparation that is undertaken when we are about to receive the guest. This applies to the month of Ramadan as well. And that's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke about the month of Sha'ban, he said the general attitude that people have and the ummah have when it comes to this month of Sha'ban is that يَغْفَلُ النَّاسُ عَنْهُ. People are negligent with regards to the significance of this month. Why? Because they feel and they think, and the general attitude is that Ramadan is around the corner, so I will reserve my spiritual energy and so on and so forth. I will reserve it for the month of Ramadan. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this month of Sha'ban is a prelude to the month of Ramadan. In fact, when we study the literal meaning of Sha'ban, it is derived from the word Sha'b. And Sha'b refers to a mountain pass. Sha'b refers to a pass that connects one valley to another, or one pasture to another pasture. Sha'ban is that bridge. Sha'ban is that month and that pass that has connected Rajab, a significant and an auspicious month, to the greatest month of the year, the month of Ramadan. So it is a month wherein we prepare ourselves to receive and welcome the guest of Ramadan. There are different preparations that are undertaken. When we anticipate the arrival of the month of Ramadan, there is the physical preparation that is undertaken. And that's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to fast during the first half of the month of Sha'ban. But the latter part of Sha'ban, from the 16th onwards, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has discouraged us, and the ulama and fuqaha have discouraged us from observing any optional fast. Why? So that we may reserve our physical strength for the fast during the month of Ramadan. There is the psychological preparation that is undertaken to receive the guest of Ramadan, and that preparation is undertaken by reading about the month and understanding what the month has to offer in order for us to gain maximum benefit from the month. It's like a boot camp. You know what the boot camp offers. You know what that session offers. And once you know what it offers, you know what you will walk away with. The same thing, the psychological preparation for the month of Ramadan is just as important. The most important preparation that must be undertaken to receive the guest of the month of Ramadan and to ensure that we maximize the benefit of the month of Ramadan is the preparation of the heart, the spiritual preparation. This is such a great month for which we should prepare that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that لَوْ قِيلَ لِأَهْلِ الْقُبُورِ تَمَنَّوْا. If you were given the power to resurrect a dead person, a believer from this ummah, if he was resurrected and he was brought back to life, And he was given the option to desire and to make a wish and to choose something of the world that he would like to enjoy during his temporary life. He is told, you are given one day to live. What would you want during that one day? Tamanna, make a wish, desire, whatever it is that you wish to desire for. He will neither desire family, nor will he desire company, nor will he desire wealth, nor will he desire the comforts of this world. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, لو قيل لأهل القبور لتمنوا شهر يوم من رمضان. He would desire to experience one more day of the month of Ramadan. This is such a great month, such a great guest, which naturally means that the preparation should be in accordance with the status and the position of this guest. Preparation of the heart. Consider Sha'ban to be practice and the month of Ramadan to be the game. If you don't show up for practice, you're not showing up for the game. And if you do show up for the game, you are not going to produce the results that you would like to produce in the game. Your performance during the game depends almost entirely upon the performance that you had dedicated to the practice session. If you showed up for practice, then you will perform during the game. But if there was no practice, like in any event, any activity, then you either don't show up, or if you do show up, you will not acquire and achieve the desired results. With regards to the preparation of the heart, alhamdulillah, many of us may have commenced the preparation already from the beginning of Sha'ban, many others from the beginning of Rajab, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a dua that created the awareness of the arrival of the month of Ramadan. However, there remains 2 weeks before we receive this great guest. And the closer we come to the receiving of the guest, the closer we arrive to the date of the reception and the arrival of the guest, the more we should intensify the preparation, as we do with any other guest. The closer the date of arrival comes, the more we prepare, the more we intensify the preparations, the more we ensure that the preparations are of such a quality that will leave the guest impressed. Because you want the guest to leave your home feeling impressed, feeling honored, feeling respected. And that is what happens with the guest of Allah. The month of Ramadan, it will go back to Allah. You want the guest to go back to Allah, being impressed with the host, and not complaining about the treatment that it received from the host. What are some of the practical actions that we can perform? There are so many, but a few that we should focus on, and a few deeds that we should exert ourselves in receiving and in preparing to receive the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the month of Ramadan. Preparation of the heart, when we speak about preparation of the heart, in essence, it means connecting the heart to Allah. And that is taqwa. Taqwa is connection of heart to Allah. The opposite of taqwa is ghafla. Ghafla is a very, very dangerous space to be in. We don't want to be in the space of ghafla, because when you are in a state of ghafla, the heart is disconnected from Allah. The nature of the heart is such that it must be attached to something. That's the nature of the heart. It has to be connected to something, emotionally connected, spiritually connected. That's the nature of the heart. The heart is always connected and attached to something. Preparation of the heart for the month of Ramadan requires that prior to the arrival of the month of Ramadan, the heart is already connected to Allah. And that's what means. And that's what it means when you speak about preparation of the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about preparation of the heart, when He speaks about preparation of the heart before an ibadah, it is not confined only to the month of Ramadan. But we find that when it comes to Hajj as well, Hajj is such a great spiritual engagement. It is such a great spiritual event that many of us performed, and many of us will perform, and many of us make dua to perform. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectifies our attitude when it comes to the concept of Hajj, because many feel that the heart will establish connection with Allah during the journey of Hajj. as we feel about Ramadan. I will wait for Ramadan to arrive. When the month of Ramadan arrives, then I will work towards establishing a connection between the heart and Allah. But when we study the verses of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about preparation for Hajj, Allah says, وَتَزَوَّدُوا, take your provisions along with you. In other words, your travel arrangements and your preparations for travel and so on and so forth, all of that must take place and all of that must be in order. وَتَزَوَّدُوا, take your provision along with you. Don't go unprepared. فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. But the best provision that you can take along with you is taqwa. You take taqwa with you and go for Hajj. You take taqwa with you and go to Baytullah. You prepare the heart before you undertake the journey. And then that journey will produce the results that you would like it to produce. And that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised that it will produce. And this applies to the month of Ramadan as well. And where does taqwa reside? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to his heart. And he says, At-taqwa hahuna. The whole objective and the purpose, the primary objective of the month of Ramadan is taqwa, connecting the heart to Allah. Taqwa resides in the heart, and that is why preparation of the heart is something that must be undertaken before we receive and before we welcome the month of Ramadan. How do we connect the heart to Allah? There are a few spiritual engagements that we should undertake and preparations that we should undertake in whatever remains of this month of Sha'ban, to ensure that it is connected before Ramadan arrives. Number one is dua. Dua is one of the most special gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we can ever enjoy. The ability to make dua, the feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates within your heart and the desire to make dua, that is one of the special mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we enjoy as an ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because dua, and the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam understood the concept of dua, that dua was not only a means and a channel through which they could achieve and from which they could ask for what it is that they required and what they needed, but they understood that dua is a very effective means to keep the heart connected to Allah. And one of the signs to determine your closeness to Allah is to gauge the amount of time and how easily you find it to make dua. Consider your relationship with others. The more easily you find it to contact someone, the more comfortable you find it to speak to him, and the more easier you find it to call him and to ask him for something, denotes what? Denotes the closeness between the two of you. You are very close to that person. And that is why you can at any time pick up the phone, contact the person. At any time you can speak to the person. You feel comfortable presenting your need before that person, and that is a clear indication of the closeness that you enjoy with that person. But then you have another person on the other hand. You don't look forward to speaking to him. You don't look forward to contact him. You hesitate, and there's a lot of reluctance before you contact him or before you present your need to that person. What does that denote? What does it show? That there is no closeness between the two. The same applies with our relationship with Allah. If I have a close relationship with Allah, then I can easily at any time raise my hands and make dua to Allah. To stay connected to Allah, we must make dua every single day, regardless of what circumstance I find myself in, prosperity or adversity, favorable or unfavorable circumstances. Dua is something I must make on a daily basis to keep the heart connected to Allah. We are going into the month of dua. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Fihi yustajabu dua." Your dua is answered in the month of Ramadan. Learn how to make dua. There is a methodology, there is an etiquette, there is a prevailing feeling that should be within the heart when you make dua. There are certain special duas. Let us learn how to make dua and use this time to understand the power of dua, when to make dua, the methodology and the etiquette and so on and so forth before the month of dua arrives. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Subhanallah, this ayah
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of His closeness to you when you are making dua, this ayah is found amongst the ayat that are speaking about fasting. Now the discussion is about fasting, the discussion is about siyam, about the month of Ramadan. The discussion is about laws pertaining to the month of Ramadan. And in the center of that discussion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reveals an ayah that has nothing to do with fasting, but has to do with dua, to show that one of the central and fundamental aspects of the month of Ramadan that you and I should take advantage of is dua. Fihi yustajabu dua. Connect your heart to Allah through dua. One of the most effective means. Spend time. Start already training yourself how to speak to Allah, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having hope that Allah will answer your dua. Very often the effectiveness of your dua, in fact the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said this, that make dua to Allah, wa antum muqinuna bil ijabah. Make dua to Allah and you have yaqeen in your heart. You are convinced that Allah has answered my dua. Your conviction in Allah answering your dua proves that you do not doubt the power of Allah. But the moment you doubt your dua, you are doubting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power to answer the dua. Number two, to keep the heart connected, we are speaking about practical ways for us to connect the heart to Allah, preparing the heart for the month of Ramadan. So that before the arrival of the month of Ramadan, the heart is connected to Allah, you are in this most amazing and wonderful momentum. And very often we have the complaint, and people complain that why is it after the month of Ramadan there is such a dip? During the month of Ramadan I'm on the spiritual high and I'm enjoying myself and I find it so easy to carry out the spiritual obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed. But outside of the month of Ramadan, immediately there's this dip, there's a spiritual dip. Very often it is because of lack of preparation before the month of Ramadan. Number two, we spoke of dua, connecting the heart to Allah. Number two is the dhikr of Allah, making the dhikr of Allah. One of the ulama was asked, how can I avoid falling into ghafla? We spoke about ghafla, so you have two states. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of these two states at the end of Surah Al-Hashr. The one state is that of taqwa, being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other is the state of nisyan. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Nisyan, forgetfulness, that is ghafla. You don't want to be in a state of ghafla. Ghafla is when the heart is not connected to Allah. It's connected to everything else, but it's not connected to Allah. So someone was asked, a great alim and scholar, that how do we avoid falling into the state of ghafla? I don't want my heart to be disconnected from Allah. I don't want to experience that. Fall into a state of ghafla. He says, number one, you must have al-khalwa ma'allah. There must be moments of solitude on a daily basis where you are with Allah. You and your Allah. Al-khalwa ma'allah. This is something that we have neglected. Moments of solitude with Allah. And during those moments of solitude, you are making the dhikr of Allah. You are glorifying Allah. You are praising Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you, during those moments of khalwa, those moments of solitude with Allah, what you will not find at any other time or during any other moment. Al-khalwa ma'allah keeps the heart connected with Allah and it prevents you from falling into the state of ghafla. There are so many benefits of dhikr. So many benefits when it is performed consistently and with dedication and devotion, thinking about all the blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you, glorifying Allah, praising Allah. There's one great benefit which Allah mentions in the Quran, and this is enough motivation for you and I to dedicate time to the dhikr of Allah. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Allahu Akbar. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. You remember me, I will remember you. How happy and excited you become when you hear that someone prominent, someone great, someone famous, mentioned you or took your name, spoke about you positively, you become so happy. It excites you to know that Allah is saying, فَذْكُرُونِي, you remember me and take my name, I will remember you. Allahu Rabbul Alameen. Number three, the third practical deed that we should focus on and exert ourselves in preparation of the heart for the month of Ramadan is attachment to Quran. Immerse yourself in the Quran, the recital of the Quran, understanding the message of the Quran. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who said, Man kana yuhibbu wa ya'lam annahu yuhibbu Allah azza wa jal. If you want to know whether you love Allah, what is the barometer to determine your love for Allah? How can I gauge my love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says, look at your relationship with the Quran. فَإِنْ أَحَبَّ الْقُرْآنِ, if you love the Quran, you love reading the Quran, you look forward to reading the Quran, you love listening to the Quran, you love studying the Quran, you love being attached to the Quran. If you love the Quran, فَقَدْ أَحَبَّ اللَّهِ, then you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّ الْقُرْآنِ فَهُوَ يُحِبُّ اللَّهِ. Number four. So we spoke of dua. Daily dua keeps the heart connected to Allah. Dhikr, al-khalwa ma'allah, moment of solitude. No matter what, come what may, that moment of solitude. Dedicate that moment of solitude with Allah. Number three, Quran. Number four, tahajjud. We are an ummah of qiyamul layl. We are an ummah that dedicate a portion of the night offering salah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's so much that can be said of qiyamul layl, tahajjud. If I cannot do it every night, then every second night, if I cannot do it every second night, then at least once a week, dedicate the last portion of the night, go early to sleep after the Isha Salah, go to sleep at 9:30, wake up at 3 o'clock, dedicate that 1 hour to Qiyamul Layl Tahajjud. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he writes, Qiyamul Layl min a'zami asbab tahsil mahabbatillah. Qiyamul Layl, Salatul Tahajjud. It is the greatest and most effective means through which you can gain the love for Allah. وَدَلِيلٌ عَلَىٰ صِدْقِ الْعَبْدِ فِي طَلَبِهِ. And it is a sign that you are genuine. When you wake up at the time of tahajjud and you are presenting your need before Allah, it shows that you are genuine in what it is that you seek. One of the great ulama of the past said, if there's something that you really want, if there's something that you really want and you are not waking up at the time of tahajjud and asking for it, then guess what? You don't really want it. Because that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly give it to you. Preparing the heart for the month of Ramadan. The last point that I leave you with is sterilization of the heart. Sterilization of the heart. Now this does not require a visit to the cardiologist or a visit to the heart surgeon. But this is cleansing and purifying the heart from the inward maladies that exist within the heart. Brothers, the path to Allah is trodden with the heart. The path to Allah is not trodden with the feet. But these inward maladies of malice, jealousy, hatred, enmity, these inward maladies, they act as a barrier between us and Allah. The heart can never connect with Allah when these inward maladies have found a place within the heart. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was once asked by the Sahaba, Man afdalun nas, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best of people? I will conclude with this narration. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Kullu makhmum al-qalb, saduq al-lisan. The best person is the one who is makhmum al-qalb, and the one who is saduq al-lisan. Saduq al-lisan, Sahaba says, we know who he is. He is the one who is dead honest. When he speaks, he is dead honest. But who is makhmum al-qalb, ya Nabi of Allah? Who is makhmum al-qalb? Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Huwa an-naqiyyu at-taqi, la ithma alayhi wa la baghya, wa la ghilla wa la hasad. It is that pure, righteous heart that has neither enmity, nor malice, nor any grudge against anyone, nor any ill feelings or bitterness towards anyone. That is makhmum al-qalb. To connect the heart to Allah, That must be removed from the heart. We learned of it last night. Last night was Laylatul Nadra, the night of the special glance, a glance of forgiveness, a glance of mercy, a glance of acceptance, a glance of clemency, a glance of love. But that glance was not directed to the one who is mushahin, whose heart is holding grudges and ill feelings towards others. How do I remove the ill feelings from the heart? Number one, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, make dua for the person against whom you are harboring ill feelings. Make dua for that person. Not that Allah destroys him. Make dua that Allah grants him success, Allah grants him happiness, Allah grants him goodness. He says, you keep on making dua for that person, whoever he may be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will convert that feeling of hatred into a feeling of love and affection. Subhanallah. And number two, there's a dua that Rasulullah would make. He would make a few duas to have the heart sterilized. And one such dua, رَبِّ تَقَبَّلْ تَوْبَتِي وَغْسِلْ حَوْبَتِي وَأَجِبْ دَعْوَتِي وَثَبِّتْ حُجَّتِي وَسَدِّدْ لِسَانِي وَثَبِّتْ حُجَّتِي وَسْلُلْ وَهْدِ قَلْبِي وَسْلُلْ سَخِيمَةَ صَدْرِي وَسْلُلْ سَخِيمَةَ صَدْرِي. Wallah, I have no control over the bitterness and the ill feelings and the jealousy that prevail within the heart. وَسْلُلْ سَخِيمَةَ صَدْرِي. Wallah, remove, extract from my heart the sakhima, the dirt in the form of inward maladies that may exist within the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability and grant us the strength and the energy to adequately prepare for this great guest of the month of Ramadan, so that it is honored in our homes, it is honored and it is impressed with the treatment that it receives, so that when it goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will testify in our favor and not against us. May Allah ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.